Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Braden Gall. Marquise Munson, a.k.a. Just Munson, when he's sitting in that chair right there behind the glass producing Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's Just Munson. Now, later tonight, or last night at the Christmas party, for example, he was just Keese, I believe. Or what are you at the Christmas party? I know you're Keese on the dates, or are you Marquise on the dates?
No. We talked
so
about
confused,
this so
Marquise.
Many times.
I know.
I am... Marquise with a symbol on my dates.
Does the Q have like a little...
Yes.
Like a prince symbol?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you're Marquise on dates. You're Keese when you're out partying with Chase McCabe.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Absolutely.
So you were technically out partying with Chase McCabe last night, in theory, at a Christmas party for our company. Did Keese come out, or did it just stay Munson?
Hey, Keese always comes out to party, man.
That's my boy.
Well, once happy hour hits, Keese is out to play.
So, which brings us to the third member of our show today, Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, in hanging out for Derek Mason, who's, I believe, I don't think he's under the knife today. I believe that's going to be next week, but he is, I think, going, like, I think he's, like, under the knife consultation today, I believe. Am I violating HIPAA laws by telling everybody that he's going to have shoulder surgery? Is that
okay? I was just going to ask, like, what's the surgery? So shoulders. I assume this is a football, going back to football stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, he's got terrible shoulders.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad. Like, one. So okay. Look at the. You see the TV. The TV's in the studio. We've got two smaller TVs and one giant one, and they're near the ceiling. So a normal sized man can reach up and change the volume.
Right.
I have seen him not be able to reach up and change the volume.
Oh man. Oh.
So if you ever want to know about what an NFL player's life is like, and he does everything under the sun to, like, preemptively avoid that kind of stuff as a player, it's really actually, I give him a ton of credit for it. He does, like, the yoga, mm-hmm. all the core stuff. He does everything, stretching, the arms, the lightweights, low reps, or high reps, all that stuff. He does everything possible to try to keep his body from, like, being a 15-year NFL vet, and it even still, I see moments where he's like, I can't throw a football to you guys. Like, if we wanted to go out and play catch, I don't think he could throw a football to us.
Well, since we violated his privacy already,
sure.
Is this like a labrum? Do you know?
I think it's years of wear and tear. Now, his major injury in the NFL, which I think we were talking about yesterday, so I don't think it's violating anything. He broke a scapula, torn labrum, and like something else, like a collarbone. I think that is your scapula, maybe. He did like three major injuries all in one play.
Oh yeah.
But it was when he was at Baltimore later in his career, and he got hit, like driven into the ground, that whole thing, and tore up like in his like every just shattered like the entire thing, and that's been an issue for him ever since. But I think both shoulders bothered him just because he played in the NFL, and you just take hits on your shoulders, especially, you know, in the 90s when he's playing at Michigan State. Like, that's, you know, it's a very different game today.
Very
you
different.
You kids don't understand.
No, absolutely. Well, and not to you know, diminish what a shoulder stuff is, but like, it's better than knee stuff, I guess, right? So hopefully that.
I'm not sure he likes his knees either.
Okay. Sorry, Derek.
but again, I just think it's a like working with him is like a window into what it would be like post career, and I think he is in the best possible situation. Like, I think about guys that played linebacker or fullback or defensive tackle, and I'm just going, like, I don't know how these people, how do they walk at 50 years old?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, and it's the window to me. I've always thought this, or in the last few years, as the CTE thing, of course, has become a huge, you know, story around football. I feel like there's that window of time, you know, because you'll see older guys, like you'll see a Dick LeBeau or whoever who played way back when it was like there was no holds barred, do whatever you want out there. But that window of bigger, stronger, faster, when the force and the impact was a certain level, but before we got to the point where safety was a priority.
Yeah. Like 90s?
I think the 90s, but I think the 80s.
I think it started 80s, with 90s? I think it started with Lawrence Taylor, I feel like. Doesn't everything just start with Lawrence Taylor, like from a 3-4 scheme standpoint, starts with Lawrence Taylor? rushing the passer from a linebacker
best
spot.
Football players ever. I think I put that had to do a one top 100 list. I put him number one.
And, but he was the start of the. All right, these are freakoids. Like the, you're no longer a 5'11", 235 pound left guard, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was the start. I feel maybe I'm wrong. I'm younger.
No,
so
I think you have a great point there. I think you have a great point there because it was just people had never seen anything like that before. A guy that size, speed, and playing, doing what he did, and you know, you think of like the Joe Theismann. I mean, you've seen that, right?
Yeah.
No, that's a great point.
I watched a lot of NFL films growing up. I'm not as old as you, Joe. But, no. We're off and running here on a Friday. Marquise and I were having a bit of a discussion before the show, and obviously we got a lot to do today. The Preds are back on the ice tomorrow night. P.K. Subban returning home. Of course, championship weekend in college football with the Pac-12 getting things started tonight. And then, of course, you got all the big ones tomorrow. A nice clean slate of 10 games, 10 conference championships. Which is interesting, and Lane Kiffin involved in one of those. Can't wait for that. And then, of course, a huge, huge weekend of NFL football with the Titans trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. And I was talking with Marquise, and I kind of was going through the list of weekends for just football in general, college and pro combined. And I said, all right, is this a better weekend than rivalry weekend? And I know a lot of people that will say they believe in rivalry weekend just because things like the Egg Bowl between two teams with losing records can be an exceptional event. And I think there is something to be said about that. Senior night for a lot of teams I think is really cool. There's a lot of great stories. And then you've got a nice weekend of NFL football. I think this one's bigger and badder and more important. So let me go through the list here and ask you. Do you like championship weekend and include the NFL better than rivalry weekend?
Well, I guess I would hedge my answer and say I year after year it might be a little different. But I think for the most part, I would go with rivalry weekend.
Really?
Yeah, just because, I mean, you know, look, what would you just get in the Iron Bowl? Got a pretty good game, right? Like, you know you have that game. I mean, Michigan-Ohio State has not been Michigan-Ohio State, really. But some years it is.
Not many playoff spots hanging in the balance, though, last week.
Yeah, well, that's true. I guess it's also because you've got a full slate of games. I mean, how many of these games... like Ohio State, Wisconsin, it doesn't matter at all, right? I mean,
probably
I guess it matters
not.
For seeding for Ohio State,
which is huge this year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're right. I mean, there's
Clemson,
some impact.
If Clemson loses, they're probably done.
But like, we
Baylor,
don't think
Oklahoma.
They will, right? And I guess that's another thing too. Like, I can't even get excited to watch that game. You know,
God,
I'm sorry, man.
Marquise, he's being such a Debbie Downer already. Can we get somebody new to do the show today?
I mean, you're stuck with this, man.
So I think this week, I would much rather watch this weekend than last weekend, but I do understand the charm and the joy of all the things that happen in rivalry week. Labor Day weekend is great for college football, but there's no NFL, so it doesn't count. I think the best NFL weekend is probably divisional playoffs, where you get two on Saturday and two on Sunday. You get the best four teams in the NFL that are coming off
by. I agree.
That's probably a really great one. Marquise, you said you brought up another one, and now I've already forgotten which one it was, but that's a really good week.
So basically, the national championship weekend, where you have the two semifinal games, and then you also have week 17 of the NFL games, which are usually divisional games. A lot of playoff implications is going to be on the line when you look at Titans, Texans,
right.
Eagles, and Cowboys after last night. So I think that weekend in general, because that decides a lot for NFL playoffs, and it obviously decides the national championship in college.
I'll move the goalpost on you, Joe. This year. Let's call it this year, because that's a unique situation where the championship, the college football playoff games are actually 2 weeks ahead of the national title game.
Yeah, that's a great weekend.
And it's tied into week 17. So on Saturday, you're going to get what you could get is LSU, you know, you could get Ohio State, LSU, Georgia, Clemson. You could get Ohio State, Utah, and LSU, Clemson. Like, you're going to get that on Saturday.
You get two games you want to see.
And then you're going to get, week 17, where God knows how many NFL playoff spots are hanging in the balance at that point. So
that's a great weekend. I'm going to go, though.
That's a really good one.
To me, it's the first weekend, though, because you've waited
really?
So darn long. Like, so to me, the second weekend of college, and a lot of times you'll have some, you know, you usually have really good games. Second weekend, and then you have the first weekend in the NFL. Like, that's like, finally, you know?
It feels like a movie star coming out of rehab. like, the movie star comes out of rehab, and you know he's not going to stay clean. So he's like, I'll watch Purdue versus Illinois if I have to. I will watch that. I need football so badly that I will watch Wake Forest versus Boston College.
On
the ACC. And I am. Hi, my name's Braden, and I have a problem. So I think you could argue this weekend is going to be amongst the two or three best, give or take a weekend or two. Labor Day has lost some luster to me. This one in particular this year, because there wasn't really a whole lot of big-time matchups.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
So I think this weekend you could argue is going to be as dramatic and just because college games are so good, so important this year. Georgia's in a playoff game. Oklahoma and Baylor are in playoff games. Utah's playing tonight in a playoff game. They all have to win to get in. And then you package that with a huge weekend of NFL football because the Titans are in must-win situation as well. So division titles in the NFC West and the NFC North, the NFC East, every division title feels like it's up for grabs still. So it's going to be one hell of a weekend, and that doesn't include P.K. Subban coming back to Nashville.
And if we could just get the NFC East relegated from the NFL, yeah, I think all would be well.
Yeah, I have never said these words out loud or even felt them or thought them, but I think I'm rooting for the Cowboys to win some games.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want to have that conversation all offseason about the third team with a losing record. I don't want to have the 7-9. Oh, what are they doing winning divisions? Like, it's happened so rarely that it just, I don't know. It's like the pass interference call. We didn't have to overreact to that. Does that make sense?
It does. Although I would like to see Washington win the division. I think that would make it all worthwhile. Can we get that?
Okay.
Can we get you know Washington rise up and win the division? And then Dan Snyder be like, well, status quo, we're division champs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a lot of fun that could be had here.
With an interim coach?
Yeah, exactly.
Bring Bill Callahan. Bring Bill Callahan.
Gotta
back.
Come back.
The Washington racial slurs, your NFC East champions. All right. So Joe Rex wrote in for Derek Mason today. We're gonna have a ton of fun. The Titans, however, one of the main focuses. We'll talk with Josh Ward coming up in just a few minutes. We got Teron a little bit later on. We got your picks against the spread. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports gonna join us and all the good stuff on a normal football Friday. However, the Titans are on the West Coast this weekend. Two observations. One, I hate the freaking time slot, selfishly, with two children that nap during noon games. I love being able to watch games when my children are asleep, so I'm kind of upset about that. But also, the Titans don't play well on the West Coast. We'll give you the numbers, and we'll give you why when we come back. Right here, Morning Drive, off and running on a Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Morning Drive, Joe Rexroad in for Derek Mason. Braden Gall here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Marquise Munson producing, and we will get to the Titans' issues on the West Coast. Josh Ward coming up in just a few minutes. However, we are introducing a new avenue of approach to the show. If you'd like to get involved, and we already have somebody getting involved as well, and I heard Jared and the GM using this yesterday. We debuted it, I believe, yesterday. But it's today's. That was a soft opening. This is the grand opening this morning on the show because it's the first time we've gotten to use this. But the same phone number that you would use to call the show, 615-737-1025. We do not take a lot of calls on this show, just sort of in general. However, we will take your text messages. So now the brand new text line is open, 615-737-1025. Same exact number. You can text us anytime you've got a question, comment, but please be entertaining and have good, smart, interesting questions. That's all I ask of this audience. I know you're a great audience. I know you can do that.
And you don't have to censor yourself if you're doing the texting. We can filter that out.
Yes.
And, yeah.
In fact, I have no problem, trying to use as much bad language as possible up until the point where I might get in trouble with my bosses. So I got no problem with that. You can send all the bad language you want to on the text line. That's not public. So Marquise, do we already have somebody using the text line this morning? 615-737-1025 if you want to text in the show from now on.
So our last conversation about which kind of weekend that you're enjoying in football, and we mentioned that, rivalry weekend, and also this is Tyler from Berry Hill. Well, he's from Mount Juliet, lives in Berry Hill, and he said that also you were forgetting that NFL games are on that Thanksgiving weekend, and it also includes delicious food as well. So basically,
Thanksgiving added to that mix is a pretty big...
Well, especially
but the Thanksgiving games are just
The games this year were bad, but you got a great Egg Bowl, and then you have Friday of all day football, 11 a.m. Virginia Tech, Iowa, Nebraska.
Exactly.
That
is a great weekend.
That's a good point, Tyler from Berry Hill.
Yeah, and I mean, look, when the whole nation gets to watch the Detroit Lions, well, that's a treat for everyone, for one thing. Actually, I mean, Dallas Buffalo was a good game this year. I mean, I was excited for that game.
I wouldn't know. I didn't see it.
Didn't watch that one. No. Was that during eating time?
I'm just focused on, we have the game on, but on Thursdays, it's my wife's Thanksgiving. On Fridays, it's my parents, my family. There's like four of us on my side. There's like 15 of them on their side. So it's a very busy day.
Gotcha.
With two children running around. Yeah. So I didn't see a lot. I did settle in for the Egg Bowl that night, though, when we got home. And that was worth it.
Yes.
Oh, it was worth it. One of the greatest endings in the history of the game, because a coach probably got fired because of it.
Unbelievable.
And if he doesn't commit the penalty, maybe the other coach gets fired. Who knows? All right, Titans on the West Coast. Joe Rexroad, Braden Gall here. And they're heading out west. And personally, I hate the time slot. They played the Broncos in this time slot. I am not going to count the Broncos in this exercise. Are you okay with that, not counting the Broncos in this exercise?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I guess it should be Pacific time.
I always think of Denver as West Coast, but it's just not anywhere close. There's like three states.
Yeah.
You have to go.
It's in the middle.
You have to go through like a whole other state.
It's in the nether regions.
Yes. Although
so to speak.
It's the beginning of like the cool part of the West.
Right.
Like all the other stuff before that's just flyover stuff. So
Contact buzz begins there and just continues on as you go west.
Excellent point. I'm going to leave Denver out of this. Obviously, they played poorly against the Broncos this year on the road, and that led to the Tannehill era beginning. 2-3 against the Oakland Raiders on the road, including the AFC Championship game, I believe, in 2001, I believe it was.
Richie Gannon
and then
at the controls.
1-3 at Seattle for the Titans. 1-2 at San Francisco, including one of Jimmy Garoppolo's coming out parties a couple of years, like with no personnel at all, just torching a Dick LeBeau defense. 1-2 against Arizona, which also included a loss to Blaine Gabbert, one of the worst football games I've seen the Titans play in modern history. And then, of course, 0-7 against the Chargers, which is just bizarre. Also, I believe, a playoff game in 2008. That gives you a combined record of 5-17 since the Titans. These numbers, by the way, are since the Titans became a franchise in Tennessee. So since they moved here in 97, I went back to 97 and I looked at all those numbers. 5-17 in the Pacific time zone. I don't know what you make of that. I don't know if it has any impact on the game this weekend. I mean, it certainly has to stick in the back of fans' minds, but I don't know how much it matters to Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill and Arthur Smith.
Yeah, and I think I'd like to see the numbers. I think you've certainly got other franchises from the East in particular, Eastern time zone out to the Pacific, that have bad records, vice versa. I think the Raiders, and I don't remember the exact stat, but when they play in the Eastern time zone in the 1 p.m. Eastern or noon for us kickoff slot, it's like an unbelievably bad record for them going
like
the other way.
It's 10 a.m. for them.
Right.
This is just noon for the Titans.
Yeah. So it's not a – I don't know. I mean, I think the Chargers thing, it's almost like you isolate that because it's just this weird thing with them and the Chargers. And by the way, they have a win over them this year. But, I mean, I was on that – you know, the swing a couple years ago, and that was one trip, too. So they tried to, like, minimize
there, right?
The impact of all the travel by staying out there, practicing out in Arizona, and then they went from Arizona to California late in the week and all that, and it didn't matter. But like you said,
they were atrocious on those two games.
Yeah, they were 8-4, you know, and not playing great, but they were pulling out all these games, 8-4, and they go out, and we were just awful at Arizona. Just awful. Like you said, Blaine Gabbert wins a game, just an all-around dismal performance.
Was it 12-7?
It was something like that. Yeah.
God.
It was
forgettable crap ever.
And then, you know, they actually, Mariota actually responded. That was, you want to talk about what the West Coast can do to the Titans. That's the only time I've seen Marcus Mariota like angry and like snippy at a press conference was after the Arizona game. But then, of course, he like apologized and his mom scolded him and stuff, you know, right after that. but he played well in that San Fran game. And like you said,
the defense,
Garoppolo,
was terrible.
I don't know how much it applies to this week, but I do think that it's, I mean, when you have long travel and you're in a little different time zone, you can count those as factors to some extent.
I would think it has to. Now, the old body clock.
Yeah.
You know, clock blocking. I think it's a really 1 o'clock game for the Titans. Right? Like, body clock time, it's 1 o'clock for them. Going that direction shouldn't be a factor, I feel like.
Right, like it should, like you, yeah, like you said.
Coming
with
this way, sure.
It should be more sense. A one, yeah.
Because 10 a.m. starts for your, quote-unquote, mental, body, you know, whatever. That seems like a far more difficult challenge to overcome. It just doesn't make any sense. And in particular, this game, with how important it means for the Tennessee Titans to just kind of keep their playoff hopes, just kicking the can down the road every week to keep their playoff hopes alive. And now they're right in the middle of it, and the Raiders were in the middle of it, in a position to be a very good football team and be in position to challenge for the division. They just get boat raced in two straight games and look terrible doing it. So, of course, the Titans will go out there and lose.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's so NFL. It would be so NFL for the Raiders to play great this week. And I'll say this. When you look at these numbers, I mean, you have to take into account, okay, what was the quality of the Titans teams and who were they playing, obviously,
sure.
Right? You know, like if you... I mean, I'm sure like New England's West Coast record is probably pretty good. You know, I mean, the Titans have had some really bad teams in this deal too.
Some good ones too, though.
Some good ones too. Yeah. You know, the Raiders. I mean, this place is going to be packed. I mean, this is, you know, these Raiders fans. I wasn't sure how they would react. It doesn't, of course. Why would you ever question? Of course, they're going to pack the place, go nuts. It's going to be a great atmosphere.
The Raiders organization doesn't even deserve their fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, and they will just all go to Vegas now. They'll just drive to Vegas and like.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But it's fantastic. By the way, the Pac-12 championship game, Utah and Oregon tonight. Utah has to win to keep its playoff hopes alive. That's in Santa Clara, in San Francisco, in that area. I think that game should be moved to Las Vegas.
That's not a bad idea.
Let's just rip the hearts out of everyone in San Francisco and the Bay Area. Nobody goes to that game tonight. Like, it sucks. It's a great game, and nobody's going to be there. So I'm impressed with the Raiders fans.
Yeah,
and how they show up.
And this team, look, they're 6-6. Like you said, they've been terrible the last 2 weeks. You know they're going to respond to that. They are still alive. I mean, you know, they're a game behind the Titans. You win this game. I mean, you keep, you know, it's the same thing. Kick the can for them. So this is absolutely, I mean, to me, it's an absolute toss-up game. The way I look at it, you know, even though I think the Titans are a better team.
Yeah, you know, the most NFL, it just, like, so the other day, and we were watching football on Friday with my dad, and he's a huge Packers fan, and he was like, yeah, you worried about how we played against the Niners on Sunday night? And I kind of looked at him, I was like, it's the NFL, they're a really good team. If they played again, I don't know what would happen, but, the Packers could win 30 points but the next time they play because it's the NFL. Like, you just don't know. Like, any given game, I don't think you can overemphasize or overreact to any one game, even though that's what we do in the media every Monday morning is we come in here and we overreact. And it's literally nothing would – you've said this a million times. Literally nothing would surprise me with the Tennessee Titans. I think 4-0. You know, I've thought about you saying that many times. I think 4-0 would be a surprise.
That's true. That would be something.
Considering how tough the schedule is.
I mean, right, you're talking about sweeping the Texans. Oh, sorry, Drew Brees. You know, take the L.
Right.
And you know, this is the one that they need to get this one.
But
you're right. 4-0 would be something. And then you're talking about hosting a playoff game and win the division.
In which case the Bills would come back here.
Wow. Another 14-7 gem,
unless,
huh?
Or the Patriots. The only team that would come here is the East team. There's no chance that, you know, I mean, I can't see if the Houston Texans lose twice to the Titans and the Titans win the division and they're the wild card, there's no way they're going to have a better record than the second place team in the East.
Right.
So the only team that probably comes here for a home playoff game is either Buffalo or New England.
E2.
Either way, you've got ridiculous storylines and history. I think you'd almost be more scared of Buffalo than I would the New England Patriots.
So Chuck's texts us and says the Titans are to West Coast games what the Preds are for Saturday games.
Pretty much.
There we go.
PK Subban's in town, and the coach is fired, so of course they're going to lose to the Devils. And then the Titans go out to Oakland, so it's just going to be one of those great weekends for National
Sports. And real
quick,
and we talked about the various different quarterbacks that's been in these games and on the West Coast, and we have a question from Deshaun, and he asked basically, is Ryan Tannehill going to change the perception of that in this game?
You guys know where I'm about to go with this, Joe. Ryan Tannehill has been exceptional. You cannot argue the results with Ryan Tannehill. And me, efficiency nerd guy, is obsessed with the 9.1 yards completion percentage or completion attempts, which is leading the NFL. His 72% completion percentage, career high. You know, 113 quarterback rating, second in the NFL, career high. He is setting, he's shattering personal records with his efficiency. The odds of that continuing next season for 3 years, whatever, is very slim. But it doesn't mean he can't do it right now. I don't know why one game and one quarterback and one moment changes the entire perception, but it keeps your playoff hopes alive. So it's like you can't undersell how much it means.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be 6-17 if they win. So, you know, next year when they go out west somewhere, well, oh, the Titans are 6-17, you know. But
Can Tannehill actually
win this game?
Let's have him win like three of them on the West Coast before we say the narrative has changed. By the way, take a shot because I used the word narrative there. But look, the text line up and running. Super feisty already this morning.
People like texting.
I love the text line.
Text and drive.
I was such a late adapter to texting. So strange. Like, all through college, I was like, no, I'm not going to text. Why would I text? I'm going to call you.
Well, remember, like, and now you I have had no to do it the old way.
I have no desire to talk on your... Oh, yeah, you had to... Three buttons.
Yeah.
The kids these days have no clue what we went through.
We were walking uphill in the snow while texting with three buttons. Yeah.
With one thumb tied behind our back. All right, Joe Rex wrote in for Derek Mason. My name is Brad Gall. Josh Ward... When we come back, we'll take a look and recap the season. Where could they be headed to the bowl game? Maybe even ask him a college hoops question. I know Rexy's salivating.
I'm in.
That, so we'll do that. Josh Ward from WNML when we come back on Morning Drive. Morning Drive. Joe Rex wrote in for Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. You can hear him every single day. Josh, how are you, my friend? Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well. Good morning.
Just sort of your you know... Closing arguments to Tennessee Volunteer regular season football for Jeremy Pruitt. I know there's been some talk of Coach of the Year. I don't think he deserves it after the start. Plus, also, Coach Orgeron has just sort of earned the right for that. But just sort of in general, your thoughts on the Tennessee Volunteer 7-5 season and Jeremy Pruitt, 10,000-foot view, year two.
Yeah, with the Coach of the Year talk, you're right. It's Ed Orgeron's. He runs away with it, in my opinion. We did a ranking for that, and I had Jeremy Pruitt fifth in the SEC. The second half of the season would obviously weight him and move him higher, but that first month still happened. And when we cite the turnaround, well, that was this season, so that still counts. So overall, it was a good job by Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff, and there is something to having a bad start and then getting things turned around, having players, veterans, guys who don't have much time left, to continue to buy in. That all happened, and then I thought they did a really good job within certain games to be able to either handle adversity, like the Kentucky game where they came back from a 10-point deficit. The Missouri game, Tennessee, I thought was largely outplaying the Tigers, making mistakes, and still held on in the fourth quarter. That's something that I don't think Tennessee would have been able to do in the first month of the season. So the improvement was a part of that. Now it's about what you do moving forward. Fans are certainly happier with Jeremy Pruitt now than they were 2 months ago. And then next year, Tennessee will go into the season with higher expectations. And a year from now, if we're talking about Tennessee being 7-5, fans are probably not as happy as they are right now. So that's why I say that a lot of it is, what do you do next?
Okay, so I want to hear your top five, Josh.
Yeah, no, that's fair. My top five, maybe I won't get the order right from what I had it the other day, but I had Ed Orgeron number one, Gus Malzahn, Dan Mullen, Kirby Smart, I didn't know what to do. I set him to the side, Mark Stoops, and then Jeremy Pruitt.
Gus.
I can get on board with that. I think Dan Mullen probably, having lost his quarterback three games in or whatever, yeah. I think I would have Mullen at two. But I wouldn't be opposed to Jeremy Pruitt at three or four. I think, like you said, Kirby Smart sort of is what it is. Josh Ward joining us here, WNML. You said, what are you going to do next? And so the two questions I have about Tennessee football now, a couple of guys jumped into the transfer portal along the offensive line, but Jarrett Garantano is not one of them. So the two questions I have about what you're going to do next if you're a Tennessee Volunteer football is, what does the quarterback situation look like next year? And what does their recruiting class look like come early signing period in a few weeks?
Yeah, Tennessee is trying to close strong here in the next less than 2 weeks. And I think what Tennessee has been able to do in the second half of the season does help Tennessee. It's helped Tennessee get back in the door with some key players. And right now Tennessee, I think, is trying to take advantage of other schools that are dealing with coaching changes and questions there. The Vols need to get some defensive linemen. They really need to land Tyler Barron from Knoxville Catholic High School. They really need to land Amari Thomas, who will announce on Monday. He's a defensive lineman from Memphis. And then if Tennessee can get some guys up front to add to this class, there are several there, add a couple of skill position players, I think they'll feel really good about where they are. When you look at the rankings, I think Tennessee probably is going to be in the 10 to 15 range, depending on how well they do with some of these key names. But this next two-week stretch is just so important because Jeremy Pruitt has made it very clear how important adding more talent to the class is, and they fell behind in that regard in September. A lot of the guys they wanted really kind of went in a different direction. And then next weekend they also have the biggest fish out there for Tennessee that the Vols are going after. That would be Darnell Washington, a five-star prospect from Nevada. If he were to choose Tennessee over Georgia, Alabama and Florida have been in the mix, then that could change how this class is viewed and the perception of Tennessee on the recruiting trail. Tennessee is fighting an uphill battle there with Georgia, but that could change things greatly. The biggest key, I think, is getting more guys up front on defense.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is one of those things, guys, where you'd love to see the alternative reality of where things would have headed had this season kept going this way and how much the turnaround, you know, is impacting the recruiting tail. I mean, I have to imagine it's pretty significant after probably, like you said, Josh, kind of just losing some guys with those first couple weeks or first month, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Well, like B.J. Ojulari is a guy who's a former Tennessee commit, and he's now committed to LSU. He flipped from the Vols several weeks ago. And if Tennessee had not turned things around, then there would not even be an opportunity for Tennessee to try to flip him back. And that still remains a possibility. And there's a connection there with Marietta High School. That's where Ojulari goes, and Harrison Bailey is the quarterback there, committed to Tennessee. Ramel Keaton's a freshman wide receiver from Marietta as well. But Tennessee, it's given itself a better opportunity because of how things got better. You don't have to deal with as much negative recruiting. If things had gone the way they could have after the first month, well, then Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff would have to be answering questions about the hot seat. Instead, he's able to go out there and say, hey, look, I'm about to get an extension on my contract. I'm going to be here for a long time. It's easier to get players to buy in and believe. Recruiting is not where Tennessee's coaches wanted it to be 3 months ago when they were projecting, but it's a lot better than where it could have been when we had this conversation in September and early October.
So Braden mentioned Garantano sticking around. I kind of had an argument with my athletic cohort, David Ubben, on our podcast the other day, Josh. But I want to get your take on Garantano next year. Is he just flat out, he's the starter, he's getting all the ones reps in August, or do you think that we could see some kind of quarterback competition at Tennessee in the offseason?
I think this season showed us that what we think now could absolutely change between now and then and even after we get to the start of the season, right? And I think right now Jared Garantano would absolutely project as the starting quarterback. If you set betting odds here, you would have to make Garantano the favorite, and I think that would be the case with Tennessee's coaching staff. But this year would be different in that they would go in probably talking more about competition. That's with the younger players who would return at quarterback as well as Harrison Bailey coming in, the highly touted freshman. And then let's see how it plays out. And I would still expect that Garantano is the starter when they go through fall camp and they decide on a guy. But what if he does struggle at times? What if there is some kind of issue on the field in September next year? We know that Jeremy Pruitt could go in a different direction at quarterback. And Jerry Garantano needs to know that as well coming back. There's also the fan aspect. It would take one not great performance from Garantano and a Tennessee loss for Tennessee fans to say, let's just move on to a younger quarterback and build at that position for the future. Is that something that Garantano wants to deal with? It looks like the answer is probably yes there. But to me, there is no question. Tennessee is better with Jared Garantano coming back and being on the roster and being the most likely starter at quarterback next year as opposed to him going somewhere else. So for Tennessee, it's a good thing considering how he improved this year. He will have his second year with Jim Chaney. It's a good thing for Tennessee if Jarrett does officially decide to come back.
Joshua joining us here, WNML in Knoxville. Tennessee Volunteer basketball, 7-1, a couple of nice resume wins over Washington and VCU. But I just stuck in my head is the Florida State game where Florida State just had better athletes and a better front court. And those are my concerns for Tennessee is just pure athletic ability. And this offense clearly does not run through the post like it did last year. What is the upside for this team and how excited is Knoxville for the game coming up next Saturday?
Yeah, there's going to be a big buildup next week for the Memphis game. I think fans are excited about the team and what they've been able to do. You have a couple of guys that have carried over what the run has been like for the last couple of years with Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden, and now John Fulkerson playing a bigger role. Do they have enough guys? They can't afford injuries. They need some freshmen to be able to play important roles right away, right now, and as the season goes along. And that's not just Josiah Jordan James, who is a big-time talent, still getting caught up, I think, from missing most of October practice. But they've got a couple of guys in Olivier Kumwan and Devontae Gaines that they have to play a lot for Tennessee. And when Lamonte hits shots and takes care of the basketball, Tennessee is going to be really tough to beat. If he turns the ball over and struggles to hit shots, well, it's going to be a tougher time for Tennessee. So there will probably be a few games this year that are really frustrating. There will be a few games where Tennessee shows really good potential. But I think what I said the 2 months leading up to the season, if Tennessee can make a run to the tournament, if Tennessee can win a game or even two in the tournament, I think that would be an incredible season for the Vols. And then you have more talent coming next year. But the Vols have good leadership. They have guys that will be easy for fans to pull for, and I think they'll play in a lot of games that will be fun for Tennessee fans to watch.
Josh, always a pleasure, my friend. I hope you're getting some sleep with that second baby, but thanks for joining us, man.
I am not, Braden, but I do appreciate that. It's coming someday in the future, I keep being told.
Yes, very soon, very soon. Thanks, man.
Hey, you guys,
thanks, Josh.
Dude, that's where you got to get, like, my wife was so strict on the sleep schedules. They were both sleeping in 8 weeks, and I know there's lots of parents right now listening to me that want to kill me right now.
Oh, I do.
Both of my kids were sleeping in 8 weeks. That's,
so it was
like 10 p.m. to like 6 a.m.
That method, what's it called?
Sleep training is all I know.
Oh, okay. There was a book that I remember my sister gave us, but we failed.
She followed some plan, and she stuck to it. It was like, you know, 2 hours for 2 weeks, and then 4 hours for 2 weeks, and then 6 hours for 2 weeks, and like, you got to let them cry a little bit, but not too much. Like, I don't know. Listen, she did it. She's a miracle worker, and I don't know why she married me. So, Joe, I just keep putting stuff in her drink every morning. Joe Rexroad, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. The text line is open, 615-737-1025. Doesn't question on the text line. Doesn't Derek Mason deserve Coach of the Year, considering he somehow kept his job?
Ooh.
Mean-spirited.
Ooh.
Mean-spirited. All right. We've got a lot to do this morning. Joe Rexroad in for Derek Mason, and I do want to get your thoughts on a couple of things Tennessee-related before we get back to college football this weekend as Georgia and LSU take place and a lot of other big games as well. So I do want to get your thoughts on a few dramatic stories, some drama that took place in the world of Tennessee football and athletics today. We'll get to that this week with Joe when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. The text line blowing up today, Marquise. Is that what the kids are saying still these days? Blowing up? 615-737-1025. If I just say hit my line, you think our audience is going to know what that means?
Hit my line. Well, I don't know if the audience will. I know. I do. I know what it means.
So everyone under 30 will know that means shoot us a text message.
Yeah, just hit my
line. But everyone over 30 is not going to have a clue what you're talking about.
No, not at all.
Couldn't hit my line, I mean, a call?
I mean, I'm borderline, so I mean.
Josh on the text line says, Tannehill has never lost to the Raiders, just like Carr's never lost to the Titans. I have to double check that stat, but that would be an interesting nugget as well. a little shot at Stillman on the text line as well.
Good.
You can keep those coming. That's fine.
There's going to be plenty
of those. That's fine. Yeah, I got no problem with that.
We should have a whole segment on Stillman shots.
You know, listen.
Or Folder.
I've called him enough names. I think people don't realize that I have a lot of respect for Jared Stillman. He works incredibly hard. He's very talented. I think he overreacts to everything. And Floyd keeps him in line by and large. But
very entertaining.
Do you know all the names of the show that we've called?
I've definitely heard some. Gosh, remind me. I laughed out loud driving the kids to school.
So somehow it started with Sprinkles, and I don't know how it started.
I don't know how that one started.
I think it was the tight end, who now I think is in the NFL, actually. Jeremy Sprinkle was a tight end for Arkansas who got – listen to this story. This is how stupid my mind is. I called Jared Stillman Sprinkles because of this story. So there's a tight end for Arkansas who's named Jeremy Sprinkle who got arrested for stealing more merchandise from Belk, the department store, I guess, or whatever it is, the clothing store, while at the Belk Bowl.
So wait, it wasn't like the gift bag? He had an extra gift bag?
He had his $200 gift card and used it and then took some more stuff.
Hey.
So stealing
from...
He was
on a roll.
I just think it's the funniest thing in the world. Stealing from Belk while being at the Belk Bowl and given free Belk merchandise. And then you still need to steal some more Belk. I thought that was hilarious.
That is beautiful.
And Jared gets his tuxedo from Belk. And so I started calling him Sprinkles, which again is a really, like, nobody gets that. But it's a great name. So I started calling him Sprinkles. That was the first one. Then it turned into Hot Cakes and Syrup because, you know, hot takes and Floyd's the sweeter side of that equation.
Okay.
Then I think it moved to, we've also called him SpongeBob and Mr. Krabs. Mostly because I think Derek is like body shaming Jared Stillman, which is kind of mean. But he's got kind of a square build.
And Floyd is Mr. Krabs because he has a lot of money.
So Floyd's Mr. Krabs. So we've got that one.
But there's
as well.
Another one that was like, it was like his name, but
Gerald
it was
and the Coach.
Gerald and the Coach.
Because someone called him Gerald, right? That's the one I was thinking of.
Somebody called in and said, yeah, I was listening to Gerald and the Coach the other day, which is just awesome. I love that one. I've also called him the Human Frat Paddle. Who hosts the show from 2 to 6. Floyd's been known as Stillman's babysitter from 2 to 6. We've come up with a lot of names.
Yeah. But it that's the thing with Jared, because like every once in a while I have to blow him up on Twitter. Like you have to.
Yeah.
But then like the mentions get really mean, and it's like, well, no, like we don't hate him.
No,
like,
not
he's
at all.
Good, you know. Yeah. But he just has to be checked sometimes.
Yeah,
he just goes.
I love Floyd and Jared, but I love Jared. He's my friend. That's a social media influencer, and I love that. I have a friend that is a social media influencer, and that's great.
See, that's a shot at how much he begs people to follow him on Instagram. Listen, he just, you're right. The checked line is just what it needs to be. It's just, he just goes a little too far with stuff. It's just a little brevity, Stillman. A little brevity every now and then would be good for you, buddy.
Well, Floyd was off a couple weeks ago, so I was in. It was the day after, you know, the Mason Rudolph, Miles Garrett.
Oh, God.
So it was 4 hours of that. So there were a couple segments where I actually felt myself losing it, you know, like and the thing is, as I yelled at him, like it only makes
him stronger.
Oh yeah, no, he was like, give
like
me
Popeye
more,
and spinach.
Give me more.
It's like when you like the bad guy in some Marvel movie, where like if you shoot stuff at him,
yeah, he absorbs it, the power shoots it back at you.
I mean,
right.
He's pretty much Thanos of sports radio.
Thanos loses in the end. Spoiler.
Oh, thank you for ruining that movie.
Dude, Endgame is 3.5 hours. It's been out for a year and a half. You can go watch it. I'm not too.
I'm on hour two.
Although I just saw it like a couple weeks ago for the first time.
Really?
Oh yeah, I don't go to movies, dude. I don't go to movies at all.
You didn't have to go for a while now. You could have
Disney Plus. Yeah, as soon as Disney Plus came out, I
so
watched
you think?
Endgame. It's an hour too long. I don't know. It's cool. Like I just don't get
I
into
loved
the.
It.
I don't get into the superhero stuff. It just feels like they're just rinsing and repeating and taking our money. They're taking a lot of our money. And it doesn't mean it's not entertaining.
I was
going to
say, they're doing a good job, though.
It is, but I watched Us the other day. Again, I'm like 2 years late to everything because I don't go to the movies. But I watched Us, and I would much rather watch Jordan Peele, his mind on screen, than I would rather watch, Where did Wolverine come
How
from?
How is Us? There's so many. I'm way behind on a million things.
It's very good. What's the other one he did, the first one he did? I can't remember the name.
Get Out.
Yeah, Get Out was amazing.
Get Out and Us, they're very similar.
Okay.
But one of them had far more racial tones, which I think is very interesting and important. This one was just pure horror. But I wasn't super scared because the premise was weird. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff I enjoy, the creativity and the thoughtfulness that goes into that kind of stuff. I also love stuff that's based on true stories now. As I'm getting older, I go more nonfiction than I do. I just don't get into I don't know how many times two people can fly around the galaxy and fight each other on an asteroid before I just go, okay, I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do think the experience in the theaters, and of course my kids are big into it, so we go like opening night, and it's a big thing. Okay. They do a pretty good job, but The Irishman, have you seen this yet?
That's on
Netflix. Yeah,
it's
that's the Martin Scorsese
theaters and on Netflix.
De Niro, right?
It's the new Scorsese, yeah.
I was trying, the other day I actually had a few minutes to myself, which never happens. And I was actually looking for the one you told me to watch, Marquise, about Breaking Bad. No, you've told me that one, too.
Oh,
but the Breaking Bad movie, right?
Awesome. I haven't even watched that yet.
What's the name of it?
I mean, it's El Camino. Yeah, okay. El Camino, the Breaking Bad
I didn't even know what
story.
To search, and I was like, I'm not going to go to the internet and do a Google search on my phone. That takes too much effort.
Yeah, you have
it's
to
right
watch.
Here sitting next to me.
I still haven't watched it. I want to watch the movie with Robert De Niro, obviously, but I have to watch that. You have to watch Dolomite, like I told you.
I know,
you've
been
told you.
I know you guys have been telling
Eddie
me.
Eddie Murphy's funny in it. It's like, and Eddie Murphy's been having his downhill on his movies, but I feel like Dolomite is like his welcome back to Hollywood.
Comeback.
Yeah, it's
now,
a little comeback to Hollywood.
It's like his Travolta Pulp Fiction moment.
But is it more like sort of like Jack Nicholson and Tiger winning a Master like 12 years later? Because I don't feel like he's done anything really like Shrek was the last great movie he did.
Yeah, he's kind of been into like the kids movie realm a little bit.
He's been out of it for like 15 years, it feels like. So.
He's still Eddie Murphy, though.
But he's still Eddie Murphy. Yeah. And you see that in that movie. I feel like some of the movies he's been in, a lot of them he's trying to be serious, obviously, because he wants to win that Oscar. So ever since like Dreamgirls, which was probably one of his last like big hits outside of Shrek. Outside of Dreamgirls, like he just kind of fell off. And then Dolomite is kind of like his... I'm back, Hollywood, and he's got Dolomite that came out. He's got SNL that I think he's doing this month, I'm sure. And then he also has a stand-up special coming out. So
our guy who texted in, and again, he has not included his name, he texted in about a shot at Stillman, and now he's just responded with, again, the text line is open, 615, sweeping the nation. It's very intense. 615-737-1025. You can now text us, which is always going to be a better way to approach this show since we don't take a lot of calls. But he's so glad I could derail the show. This may be the best thing ever, this text line.
Yeah, this is all about Stillman. We're talking about every movie we've seen in the last 3 years.
Because
now.
Of Stillman.
It's all you, Stillman.
God dang it. It
he takes in the power.
You know what, though? I think it was probably more fun than if we'd argued about Greg Schiano. Because I'm pretty much done with that.
Yeah, you're done with the Schiano
thing? I was done with that the day it happened. I'm done with that. And then the Jennings thing, too. Like, I'm done with that as well. Like, it's over. Vanderbilt fans, you're not going to be happy. Tennessee fans, you're not. I feel like a parent. Like, when you're two kids, and then my kids don't really fight yet. They're still too young. But I know there's that moment where you have to separate them and like, okay, now neither one of you gets it, right? Like, that moment where they're playing with the toy and, all right, fine.
Well, I'm just going to take it away then.
Now it's mine, okay? And I feel like that's what I'm doing with Jennings because, like, Vanderbilt fans think he should go to prison and be beheaded, and Tennessee fans think he's, like, going directly into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, like, tomorrow. And I'm like, dude, guys, it's in the middle somewhere, right? The reality's in the middle. You're both not going to be happy about this. He gets a half game. Let's move on. Yeah. So there you go. End of rant. Full stop.
There you go.
All right. Joe Rexroad hanging out. Text line is open, 615-737-1025. I would guess that's probably going to be your best avenue of approach from here on out on Morning Drive. Just saying.
You guys need a big board. I want to read these texts as they come in. Like, you need like in here. I know you're reading
on
your laptop.
I'm reading as they come. Yeah. I'm very excited about this. This is awesome. It's quite a development.
It's like a kid in a candy store.
I'm very happy. People can just spew stuff, and they don't have to worry about it. We get to censor it now. It's great. It's tremendous. All right. SEC championship game. What do we expect from Georgia and LSU? Who's getting into the playoff? Huge weekend of college football. We'll get to that when we return right here on Morning Drive.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.